Location, location, location.
That is such a real estate cliche, cliche, cliche. But it does matter.
And not just for your home price, but for your health.
And for your exercise habits.
Location for our programming is extremely important to be closer to our participants rather than further away, and actually providing opportunities that are literally right within the developments where they live. Reducing all barriers of access, increased familiarity with their surroundings, and providing opportunities that are readily available in a comfortable environment.
That's Rahim Baraka. He runs Baraka Community Wellness to serve folks in Boston neighborhoods like Roxbury, Mattapan, and Jamaica Plain. He says the main goal is to get gyms closer to people, even ideally within a one-minute walk from their home. I'm Carrie Goldberg.
And I'm Dr. Eddie Phillips, and this is The Magic Pill. Location is so important because there's no question that where you live could either help you become more active or it could get in the way.
Absolutely. And Rahim Baraka is so right in my experience. Like a few years ago, a gym opened up just a one-minute walk from my kids' school so I could do drop-off and then go right to the gym and then get right home to change and start the day. And I started going so much more.
And the opposite is true for many people. There's no gym nearby. The streets don't feel safe. There's bad air. A lot of my patients face challenges like that.
And so what do you tell them?
I had this one patient, when I asked her to go for a walk after dinner, she looked at me like I was giving her a death sentence. She went into the details of explaining the, quote, war zone that she lived in and how it was just not a good idea. Once she successfully made it home to go out to go for this walk that I thought would really help her. But we explored a little bit, and I said, well, when do you leave the apartment? She said, well, Sunday mornings I go out. I go to church. Absolutely. And I said, well, how do you get there? She said, well, my friends come by and they honk the horn and I come out. And then she explains to me that the church is only a mile and a half away. So I suggested perhaps walking on Sunday morning. Well, her friends drive over now and they go for the walk. It's about a mile and a half. And then it turned out that, well, they had to walk back. Turned into 3 miles.
Beautiful. And here's some more inspiration from Noah Hicks, who's 29, and he's a real force for bicycling in Dorchester, an area of Boston that's got a lot of beauty but can also get kind of gritty in places. He sees this stark contrast between kids and grown-ups there.
Cycling is about as Dorchester as a Jamaican meat patty. I don't know any kids around here who don't bike.
But by the time you grow up, it's not the thing there anymore.
People want to bike, and people need to bike. But a lot of people have a hard time envisioning themselves living their daily lives on bikes. It's just now reaching the forefront of popular culture and collective community imagination as a form of transportation.
So Noah says his job is to get more butts on bikes.
I love it.
And that's such a great idea for just about anywhere. It cuts pollution. It cuts traffic congestion. Carrie, bicycling is a really simple solution to just so many complex problems. It also has physiologic advantages. For example, I have a lot of patients whose back hurts so much. Walking and standing just gives them pain. But when they lean forward on the bicycle, they could bike for an hour.
Well, that really surprises me because the biking position just looks uncomfortable for your back to me.
But if you've got arthritis in your back, you may actually be more comfortable leaning forward to open up your back.
Huh. And obviously it has no impact, so you're not like bashing your joints by running.
I've got lots of patients with hip and knee arthritis. They can't take the impact, but on the bike, they're just fine.
But I don't know, Eddie. Like, I don't want to trivialize the challenge of living in an unsafe place. The answer can't be just bike fast enough to stay ahead of the danger.
So no, this is one of the hardest barriers. And the toughest part is that it contributes to the inequality. It's what we talk about as a health disparity. If you have less money, you tend to have worse health. What's really scary is that you live a much shorter life, something like a dozen years less if you're below the poverty line.
And no one expects a solution to poverty in this 5-minute podcast, obviously. But I guess Rahim Baraka is an example of how there is a lot you can do even in a challenging place. His programs help mothers and kids with everything from nutrition to exercise to emotional resilience. And they even give away free food. And they are showing results. Eddie, you turned me on to the group Walk Boston.
They're a great group. They've been around for over 26 years. And Carrie, they were the first walking advocacy organization in the entire country.
Cool. So I spoke with their executive director, Wendy Landman. This is clearly a very familiar issue to her, this problem of location. And here are some of her top tips.
First of all, is walking in groups. Lots of neighborhoods, lots of communities have walking groups where people gather to walk together. Another thing we talk about with people is walking in the morning. Even if you live in a place where personal safety really is an issue, it's often not so much of an issue if you take a walk early in the morning. And the other thing, of course, also is joining with your neighbors to help make your community safer, because the best way to make it feel safe is to have more people out on the street.
And Eddie, she says lots of towns across Massachusetts and really all around the country are making pretty big strides in trying to make more walkable places.
And if your neighborhood doesn't yet feel comfortable, there may be a place not too far away that does.
Right. And she says ask your parks department, ask your public health department, your local Y about all the walking options around. She says the Walk Boston folks just like to think about walking as part of your everyday life. And almost everybody has a place nearby where they can build it into their daily life.
And in true magic pill style, I'd like to also point out that it also feels good.
So, Eddie, you know, Raheem and what he does are so impressive. But I have to say, this one seems like a really tough one to me.
I agree. But to end on an optimistic note, it's true that where you are socially and physically has a huge influence on your physical activity. But it's also true that in the big picture, our culture is finally changing. And in the smaller picture, there are kinds of microcultures like we talked about, groups and programs like Raheem's or the one that Noah Hicks runs with bikes, where there's support to fight the good fight and to keep moving.
Okay, Eddie True, that does make me feel better. Tomorrow, our episode is about something very different, lies and debunking myths.
But for today, our song is Best Friend by The Penthouse.
Baby, I don't know what to do. Oh, no. But lately, I've been falling for you. Show me something I don't know. Falling for my best friend. Ignoring the truth. Now I've been ignoring her too. Oh.